Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message from the Expression House headquarters, Mokola, Ibadan. We bring people into membership in God's family, mature them in Christ's likeness, equip them for ministry, and send them out for missions to the world in order to magnify God's name. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover purpose. Connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us on site at Mokola, Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. Now, let's get into the message.
I want to start a series this morning that I've titled Keep Hope Alive. It's an instruction from the Holy Spirit to the church, to me personally, and to each of you personally, and to the body of Christ. Hope seems to be in short supply in the days in which we live because of the enormity of the attacks of hell on the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But no matter what hell does, no matter what hell brings, we know the end of the story, because the head of the church already told us in his word. And we anchor our faith on his word. It said in Matthew 16, 18, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock the revelation," not on Peter as the person, you don't build a church on the person, "but upon the revelation of his sonship as the Son of God, upon that rock, this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And I say to you by the Spirit of the Lord this morning, no matter what hell brings, the gate of hell will not prevail against your life. Shout a better amen. Amen. It is important, therefore, in all that you go through to keep hope alive. I know one of the factors that fight against our hope is that thing called delay. As a matter of fact, the word of God itself says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. When people have experienced a delay in an area of their lives, there is the tendency to begin to lose hope. Hope begins to wane. When you have an unanswered prayer, that's another factor that fights against your hope. It looks like year in, year out, I'm coming to church, I'm reading my Bible, I'm keeping myself sexually pure as much as I can, I'm doing all the things that the pastor says to do, everything that the Bible says to do, but there seems to not be any upward movement, upward mobility in my life. Looks like I'm on the same spot, and my friends who don't even know Jesus seem to be making a lot of progress. When we have situations like this in our lives, or maybe you have a sickness in your body and you've been dealing with it for a while, or you have a family member that has been sick for some time and it looks like a protracted sickness, and you prayed and fasted and you've quoted scriptures, you've confessed, and it seems like the situation has refused to bulge, is another thing that fights against our hope as Christians. And sometimes when you, like I said earlier, see unbelievers who don't even know Jesus, and they seem to be doing better than you in your profession, in your business, in your vocation, in your academics, and you're really putting in your best, and they're not even putting so much like you are, and it looks like they're having better results, and they're even having favor with people that matter. And it looks like people are not even looking your direction to say, how can I help you? Nobody really cares about you. This is also another factor that militates against your hope. The enemy will do anything, throw anything your way, just to get one thing from you. To get you to the point where You say, well, I'm D-O-N-E, done. As we have different faces this morning, our situations are different. We have different issues in our lives, different things we're dealing with, everybody dealing with something. So don't look at anybody, look at yourself, because you got your own issues. Everyone is dealing with one thing or the other. But this word is coming to everyone so that we can rise from the abyss. We can take up the ashes and start a new fire. We can come to that point where we refuse to throw in the towel. We lay hold on the hope that is set before us and run patiently the race ahead of us. I want to read two texts this morning. First of all, Job chapter 14, from verse 7 to 9. Job is in the Old Covenant, and I'm going to read Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Job is just before the book of Psalms. The man Job went through what I will describe as a dark season. And Bible scholars have told us that the trials of Job actually lasted 9 months, the same period that a woman goes through pregnancy. Not very palatable, not very convenient. You can't run like you would like to if you were an athlete. Now you are married, you are pregnant, you can't do a 100-meter dash. You'll not be allowed. You can't do a 400-meter relay because you are pregnant. The pregnancy period is not an easy one for a woman. You can't sit anyhow. You can't stand for too long. There are certain things you cannot eat. You can't sleep anyhow like you would like to sleep because of that thing that you carry in your womb. Job went through a situation that nobody prays to go through. He lost everything. In Job chapter 1, he was the greatest man in the East. In the East, he was the greatest man. No one like him. His business was flourishing. Life was going on well. If you bring that to contemporary times, he was a baller. Everything was good. I mean, he had all the cars that he wanted to drive. He had beautiful daughters, handsome sons. His businesses were flourishing. His animals were doing well. Everything was going great for him. He was so great, he was like the person you would call the richest man in maybe the East today, or the richest man in the world. He wasn't the greatest in the world in chapter 1. But then he went through an affliction that reduced him to the lowest man in the world, probably in the world, in the East. And that lasted for 9 months. Let's hear from this man who was speaking from the bitterness of his soul. Sometimes you need to hear from people who have failed. Sometimes you need to hear from people who have been through stuff. One of the people that I run away from in my life, and the reason I don't listen to many, many young Nigerian people, motivational speakers in the pulpit, is because many have not proven what they are preaching. You have not proven it. You are just reciting the quotable quotes that you had from someone somewhere. Have you ever been through life? Have you ever failed? You know, when you fail, some people are quick to judge you and say, well, you didn't read well, you didn't prepare well, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. Everybody knows what you didn't do because they are not in your shoes. But if you have ever failed once, one of the things that failure will do to you is that it will make you to be more empathetic and less judgmental. You will know that you have been there. You have worn those shoes before. And so a man that is with an experience is not at the mercy of a man with an argument. You don't have a superior argument. You have not been there. I have been there. Have you walked through the valley of the shadow of death? Do you know what it means? Have you found yourself on the very verge of depression? Have you had to repeat a course before? Have you had to rewrite a project? Have you been rejected before? Have you been turned back? Have you been refused visa? Do you know what it means? If you have never sat in the place where people sit, you don't know how the shoe fits. I tell you, the best you can know is head knowledge. It takes someone who has been through it. And that's why sometimes I perceive that God, even though it's not the orchestration of failure, permits us, allows us to to go through some processing in life. So by the time we come out of it, we are not the same. At the end of Job's trial and travail, he emerged in chapter 42 as the greatest man in the world. He started out as the greatest man in the East. Then he went from prominence to obscurity, to failure, to the ashes. He went to zero. He went to a point that even his wife advised him to curse God and die. Because there's no hope for you again. Just die. Have you ever been there? When someone will look into the face, look in the face and tell you to just die. Because they can't find hope at the end of the tunnel. Job was there. Let us hear from this man. It is romantic when we read the story of Job in books. It's really in the Bible. Oh, what a story. And one day, all of his children were partying hard. And an east wind blew on the building where they were. And it collapsed on them and they all died. And he said, wow. Wow. All his children died. And then you move on to the next verse like nothing happened. Job couldn't move on like that. A man who loses a child, it's a vacuum that they carry forever. How much more on a man who loses all his children? That's his future. He was not a young man anymore at this time. Where would this start from? Let's hear from Job. Job chapter 14. From verses 7 to 9, just three verses, I'll take from there. In the midst of his situation, Job said, for there is hope of a tree. Job, are you sure there is hope? For there is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, if you cut me down, there is still hope that it will sprout again and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, decay, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, death, hopelessness. Yet, verse 9, through the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. Father, we ask that your breath will come on your word. Let this word come alive in our hearts. Let Jesus be ultimately glorified in this service today. In Jesus' name, amen. There is hope for a tree when it is cut down and it begins to perish in the earth. The roots, the stalk, everything dies in the ground. That depicts hopelessness. When you cut a tree, and it begins to wither before your face. What is the hope that it will live again? Job said by the Spirit that even in that hopeless situation, seemingly hopeless situation, there is still hope that that tree will still live again. How? How will it live again? It's dead. It's been cut down. It's decaying. The stalk has died in the ground. There is no more hope. Job said there is hope. How can you have hope in the midst of hopelessness? By the Spirit of God, he gave us a hint here. He said in verse 9, yet through the scent of water. Does water have scent? I thought they taught us in chemistry that one of the characteristics of pure water is that it is colorless, it is odorless, and it is tasteless. So one of them is odorless. But Job said there is a scent to water that chemistry does not understand. That at the scent, at the smell, at the contact with the scent of water, Job said, I can guarantee you that it will bud again. That dead tree will bud again and will bring forth boughs like a plant. What is water according to the scriptures? Ephesians 5:25. Are you there quickly? Ephesians 5:25. The Bible was talking, Paul by the Holy Ghost was talking to men, to husbands, And he said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Go to the next verse. That Christ loves the church so much, and this is what he's doing with the church. This is what Christ is doing with your life and my life. Listen, everybody, you need to know what Jesus is doing with your life. So you are not just coming every Sunday like a ritual, every Thursday where we have to just go. Something is happening every time you come. Every time you don't miss the congregation of the righteous, something is happening. You may not feel it in your body, but something is happening in the realm of the spirit. It said that it might sanctify. Sanctify means cleanse, really. That's what it means, set apart for the holy use. Now, I set apart that plate, is for myself. I don't use it to serve others when they come to my house. You know, like the protocol guys, media team will say, that is pastor's microphone. You don't give pastor's microphone to someone else. Not because pastor is superior to anybody, but we don't want anybody messing up with that mic. It is dedicated to pastor. Glory be to God. Sanctified. Now, Jesus is sanctifying you, setting you apart for a holy use. Are you not blessed? Three people said they are blessed. Five people said they are blessed. That he might sanctify and cleanse it. Now, he's not just sanctifying you, he's also cleansing you. There is a cleansing going on this morning. But how is Jesus doing this cleansing? He's doing it through the washing of water. Can you see water again? Through the washing of water. But what is that water that Jesus is using to wash us? It says by the word. So the word of God is water. Can I have an amen? Amen. It is the most efficient cleansing agent in the world. When your mind is clogged and cluttered with the issues and the problems of life, the best way to wash your mind, the best way to declutter your soul, is to apply the cleansing power of the water of the Word of God. The Word of God is water. Somebody said the Word of God is water. Job said, at the scent of water, at the scent of water, at the scent of water, that dead tree will live again. And I pray for someone this morning, no matter what has died in your life, at the scent of water this morning, you will live again. Amen. Three people said amen. Amen. Romans 15, 13, Paul the apostle picked this up by the Holy Ghost. And he said a prayer for the church. Hope is very important. Hope is key. I'm going to define what hope is in a moment. I'm dividing this message into three parts. Part one, what is hope? Part two, why hope? Why so much hype about hope? And then part three will be, how do we keep hope alive? You can be guaranteed I'm not teaching all of that today. I'm just going to start with what is hope today. Praise God, amen. Now, Paul the apostle was praying for the church, the Christians in Rome, and by extension, the rest of the body of Christ. And it's amazing that the first thing he called God there is that he called God the God of hope. Oh, I thought, oh, God is the God of faith. God is the God of power. God is the God of love. In fact, God is love. How come you are calling God the God of hope? Because hope, just like mercy, hope also looks feminine. Somewhere along the line, we've been taught in Sunday school that hope is passive. Hope is not very active. You know, when you say hope, as a matter of fact, it's very, very rare that you find a man bearing hope. There are men who bear hope. In fact, there is a governor that bears hope. But they are very rare compared to the female, the girls, the women, the ladies that bear the name hope. Because somewhere along the line, we've been misschooled that hope is rather feminine in nature and is just passive. It's not very active. So hope is very gentle. And for the most part, people describe wishful thinking as hope. Is it going to rain today? Well, I hope it rains. Is your brother coming tonight? Well, I hope he shows up. In other words, they are not really expecting that he shows up. Are you going to pass your exams? Well, I did my best. That exam was tough. I hope I get something good out of it. They are not actively expecting success. Are you with me, church? Am I making sense? Now, Paul said, now the God of hope. And I know something about God, that God is not passive. God is active. Can I have an amen? Yeah. Can I get a better amen? Yeah. Now the God of hope, the God of hope, the God that gives hope, the creator and the giver of hope, fill you, not give you a little, fill you with all joy and peace, shalom, in believing, in faith, when you are in faith, that you may abound, that you may have abundance of hope, abundance of hope. How? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I have an amen? Amen? That tells me that in addition to the Word of God bringing hope, the ministry of the Holy Spirit also has a lot to do with the administration of hope. The Holy Spirit has a role to play in our being filled with hope. The God of hope fill you with all joy, with all peace in believing. And that you may have abundance of hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. It means as long as the power of the Holy Spirit is working in you, like it is working right now, you should be full of hope. You have no business with hopelessness. You have no business with despair. You have no business with despondency. You have no business with a sense of foreboding. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. I'm going through a lot. I know. And I love the way you said it. I'm going through. You are not staying there. You are going through. David told us in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. The valley of the shadow of death. I'm not going to stay there. That's not my permanent address. I'm going to walk through and I'm going to come out. And you are going to come out in the name of Jesus. You fear no evil because the Lord is with you. Listen, church. The darkest night in the life of a believer is that point at which he lets go of the spiritual force called hope. No matter how dark your situation may be as a child of God, if you keep hope alive, hope will keep you alive. Never heard that before. The Holy Ghost said it to me direct. And I put it down. I say that again. No matter how dark your situation may be as a child of God, if you keep hope alive, hope will keep you alive. What is hope? I'm going to do a teaching here this morning, and I want everyone to listen. Because if you don't understand what it is, how to apply it will become a challenge. You will misapply, you will misfire, you will misappropriate it. And I see that a lot in my interactions with people. Not many people really know what Bible hope is. Please, I want you to listen and get what Bible hope actually is. Now, I'm going to start from the definition of faith to get to what hope is. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Can you put that on the screen for me? Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith, now you can even all define it without looking at the screen. Okay, let's go. One, two, go. What is faith? Now faith. Come on now, talk to me. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Glory be to God. And so, if you read this on the surface, you will assume that because faith is the substance of things hoped for, it means you need to have hope first. And then faith will now bring substance to your hope. And then, yes, that's it. That is not accurate. Not accurate. And that's what I assumed myself for many years. Like, you need to have hope before you can have faith. Like, hope is the structure that you build faith on. No! That's not scriptural. Let me tell you something. You cannot have hope without faith. Mark my words. Take my words for it. You cannot have hope without faith. Bible hope does not precede faith. No. Bible hope is an offshoot of faith. Bible hope is a result of faith. Let me teach you this. You see that word transcribed or translated substance in Hebrews 11:1, is the Greek word hypostasis. Somebody say hypostasis. Kelode. Say it out loud. H-U-P-O-S-T-A-S-I-S. H-U-P-O-S-P-O-S. That's where you get money from. H-U-P-O-S-T-A-S-I-S. Hypostasis. Somebody say hypostasis. Now, what does that word mean? Now, it's a Greek word derived from two words. The first word is the word hupo, H-U-P-O, which means under. Somebody say under. And then histemi. Histemi is the other word, which means to stand. Now, so what this essentially signifies is that, you know, the Greek, the New Testament was written in Greek. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. So if you understand a little bit of Greek, it will help you. It doesn't give you the interpretation from the Holy Ghost, but it helps you. All right? So don't replace Holy Ghost with Greek. Amen. The Holy Ghost is the teacher of the word. But if you understand the language in which it was written, it will also help you. Now, what hypostasis simply signify is that which stands under. Hypostasis means that which stands under. Now, let me ask you. This, we're in a building right now. What stands under this building? Come and talk to me. Oh, some guys are very smart here. What stands under this building? Foundation. Without a foundation, you can't build. You don't build on sand, it's going to collapse. There has to be a foundation. So that word says, that definition says, now faith is the foundation. The foundation. The foundation of things hoped for, the substance or the evidence of things not seen. Hope. So if you look at hope and faith is the foundation on which hope is built. Are you getting what I'm saying? Without the foundation, there can't be the building. Without the foundation, there can be no building on top of it. Without the foundation, there can be no building on top of it. Without faith, there can be no hope built on top of it. So Bible faith does not precede hope. Sorry. Bible hope does not precede faith. Like the building does not precede the foundation. We don't erect a building and then next year, let's come and lay the foundation. Are you getting what I'm saying? Please, I want you to understand this. Many people that are older than you don't know it. What people know in the world as hope is wishful thinking. I hope it happens. Well, Q sera sera, what will be. I just hope. Hopefully. You know, we are so familiar with that word. Those phrases. Hopefully, things are going to get better. Hopefully. But people are really not hoping. The kind of hope that God wants us to have. In fact, God expects us, listen to me, to be prisoners of hope. Zechariah 9:12. Put that on the screen for me quickly. Prisoners of hope. How do you mean, Pastor? Should we go to prison? No. God expects us to live in hope perpetually. God does not want you to live one day hopeless as his own child. Say amen. Say a better amen. Let's read that together, everybody. Turn to the stronghold. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. God is saying, turn to the stronghold. The stronghold is hope. Turn there. You prisoners of hope, stay in there. Stay in hope zone perpetually. Never you be hopeless. But Pastor, hope alone is not enough. I need to have faith. I'm saying you can't have hope without faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? Anywhere you see faith in action, hope is there. Because faith is the foundation, hope is built on it. Faith is the foundation, hope is built on it. A child of God has no business being hopeless. What is hope? Hope is confident expectation. Confident expectation. There must be confidence to it. There must be an expectation to it. Are you getting what I'm saying? There must be confidence to it. And there must be expectation. Are you going to pass that exam? Oh, yeah. I am confident I'm going to pass it. That's hope speaking. Amen? Are you sure you're going to graduate when your mates are graduating? What's going to stop me? As a matter of fact, I'm graduating top of my class. Confident expectation. Are you sure you're going to graduate? Well, I really don't know because we have a sadist as HODI. The way that man is failing people, I really don't know. Are you in faith? Yeah, I'm kind of walking by faith, but you're walking by faith, but you don't know that you're going to graduate. Can you see there's a problem there? Where there is no faith, there is no hope. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because faith is the foundation and then hope is built on it. Are you getting what I'm saying? There can be no hope without faith. There can be no hope. Hope without faith is a scam. Get it and have a mind reset. We need a mind shift, a paradigm shift this morning. We need to shift the way we're thinking. God is the God of hope. God never wants you to be hopeless. He doesn't want you to be without hope. And as long as you walk by faith, you should be a person of hope. 2 Corinthians 5:7. 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. If we walk by faith, it means that we also walk by hope. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 13:13, he said, these three, faith, hope, and love, these three abide, but the greatest of them is love. Why? Because God is love. God is not faith. God is not hope. God is the God of faith. God is the God of hope. But God is love. Are you getting what I'm saying? But the three of them always work together. Galatians 5:6 tells us that faith works by love. If you claim to be a person of faith, we must see hope in your eyes. Where are the sparkles in your eyes? Rise up from the abyss, child of God. Don't be confined to depression. Don't allow the devil have the last say over your life. Things are not rosy right now. Things are going to be rosy. Can I have an amen? Yeah. Let's hear hope from the words of your mouth. Let's see hope in your dressing. Let's see hope in your outlook. Let's see hope. Let's see hope in your countenance. Let's hear hope from your voice. Every believer has a voice. It should be the voice of hope, as it is the voice of victory, the voice of faith. Anywhere you see faith, my friends, you see hope. The woman with the issue of blood, Mark chapter 5, who had been there for 12 years, when she heard about Jesus and she was stepping out, what did she say to herself? If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I might or might not be made whole. I don't know. Let me just go and try. Was that what she said? What did she say? I shall be made whole. Hope speaking. Anywhere you see genuine Bible faith, you see genuine Bible hope. I'm not talking about the hope of the world. I'm talking about real Bible hope. Are you with me, church? Are you getting something this morning? Faith is the hypostasis, the foundation of things hoped for. Are you hoping for anything? Yes, I am. What is the foundation? I have a scripture that I'm trusting God for. I have a scripture I'm standing on, and I know that God is going to work it out for me. Come on, you're on the right path. Bible hope is confident expectation. Proverbs 23 verse 18 says, surely, not probably, Proverbs 23:18. Put it on the screen for me. Surely, there is an end. No matter what you go through in life, there is an end someday. Are you getting what I'm saying? There is an end to the most stubborn rain. The cloud will still clear again. The coast will be clear again. The sun will pierce through the clouds. The sun is going to shine again. No matter how stubborn that rain may be, surely there is an end. When I went through my situation 2 years ago, I thought it was the end. Until I found God's word preaching to me. Surely there is an end. A journey may start in your health, and it looks as if that's the end. No, it is not the end. There is an end. You will live again. One person said, yes, sir. You will stand to testify that you received your healing from the Lord. It says, surely there's an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut short. I pray for someone today, your expectation will not be cut short. The Lord warned me years ago, Fred, be careful what you expect. I said, why? He said, because your expectation will not be cut short. So I had to quickly apply wisdom. Since that day, I've been expecting good things to happen in my life. No matter the economy of Nigeria, the lion will not eat grass. So God will feed me. Amen? God will take care of me, take care of my family, take care of my church, take care of my loved ones, take care of my friends. Amen? That's the way I think and that's what I say. No matter who says that people are not going to graduate from this university, I am going to graduate, and I'm going to graduate in flying colors. No matter the economy of Nigeria, they said there is no job, I'm going to get a job. Not only will I get a job, I'll get a good job. Not only will I get a good job, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I'm going to be an employer of labor. That's how you should be thinking and talking. Are you getting what I'm saying? What are you expecting? Are you expecting to die young? How many people said no, sir? Are you expecting to live long? He said, your expectations shall not be cut off. You know, people fight you sometimes because of your expectation. And it's just a sheer waste of time and it is stupidity. Don't fight someone else because of their expectation. Generate your own expectation. A minister fought me hard. You will be saying you won't beg, you won't borrow. You only believe. You are too young to be saying that as a preacher. This is an older preacher. And my question to him, and my question to you all listening to me today is, should I now begin to say, I will beg, I will borrow, and I will not believe? Because that's the opposite of, I will not beg, I will not borrow, I will only believe. So should we begin to say, well, by the grace of God, by his mercy, we shall beg? Does that not run contrary to the word of God? The word of God tells us, I've been young. Psalm 37 verse 25. Now I'm getting old, yet have I never seen the righteous forsake, nor his seed begging bread. Listen, you will not beg bread in the name of Jesus. People fight you because of your expectation. And it is my expectation that forms my confession. I've said it year upon year, I will never be stranded in my life. Never be stranded. Have I been in situations that look like I was almost stranded? Yes. 2016. I landed for the first time at the Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas airport. And the man who was supposed to arrange my pickup was at work. A white pastor. He was at work. He had mixed up the information of my flight. I knew nobody in that area. Nobody. Even if I knew anybody, it would be an emergency to start calling them. They were not expecting me. So I landed in a strange country, strange land. I'd been going to America before that time, but that was my first time in that area of America. You might not appreciate what I'm saying until you travel abroad. When you go to a strange land for the first time, and there is nobody to give you guidance, nobody to pick you up, it's tough. You will almost be blaming yourself. Why did I come all the way? I landed there, went through all the immigration checks. In fact, it was auto checking. You know, I went to the computer, checked myself in. I went to the immigration guys and said, nobody asked me questions. They laughed. They said, we got you. I said, no, you should ask me questions. They said, come on, freak out. So I just walked away. I didn't know that. I was thinking that the person to pick me up was already waiting for me. I got to the point where I was supposed to see him, nobody to welcome me. So I went to the information desk to start setting up my Wi-Fi so that I could make calls. While the white lady there was attending to me, a black man, a Nigerian man that I had never seen all my life, walked up to me and said, as I was standing there, the Holy Spirit said to me that you needed help. Man, he first of all asked me, do you need help? I was almost going to tell him, did I send for you? But when he said, the Holy Spirit said to me that you needed help, I said, sir, yes, I really do need help right now. What's the situation? I told him my story. He said, do you have his number, the pastor's number? I said, yes. I said, but the lady is setting up my Wi-Fi. I said, don't worry, lady. Let me have his phone. So I gave him my phone. He checked the number. He dialed the person right there. The thing went straight to voicemail. He left a message. The man texted back and said, oh, sorry. He didn't know that Pastor Fred would be landing this morning. He was at work and that he was sorry. But what could be done? So this man texted back and said, you know what? I don't know Pastor Fred, but I'm going to take him to my house and I'm going to text you my address. When you are done from your work, come and collect Pastor Fred from my house. And that was the deal. And the man turned to me and said, Pastor Fred, would you like to go with me to your house? I said, oh, I thought I said yes yesterday. I mean, what am I waiting for? What will I be doing here? Sitting down at the airport for hours. My friend, it's only romantic in pictures. In real life, it's not funny. Especially Nigerian airport. Though this was America, but Nigerian airport, the chair is metallic. Anyway, so this man took me to his house. He actually came to pick someone else on the flight. So we waited for the man to come out. And when the man came out, the man said, oh, you know each other? Blah, blah. He did all the introduction. The man said, yeah, I saw him on the plane. He said he saw me on the plane when I was going to use the loo. He said, I admire your jacket. He said, I saw you twice. I said, thank you very much, sir. I made that jacket here in Mokola. It wasn't ready-made. No, I made it. My guy, one of my former students, made it for me. But very nice blazers. I said, thank you very much, sir. God was already giving me favor. And the man took me to his house in Evan, Texas, and we had a great time. We still have that relationship till today. What helped me? I would never be stranded in life. Get up every morning, speak the word of God to yourself and over your life. No matter who is cursing you, a curse causeless will not come. As for me, Fred Akinola Ilegbe, I will never be stranded in my life. I will never be put to shame. Be listening to me, don't talk. I will never be put to shame. I will never be broke. I will never be poor. I will never be sick. I will not die young. I'm going to live out the number of my days. I'm going to fulfill God's purpose for my life. I say to myself, Fred, you know what? It shall be well with me. And sometimes I say it in Yoruba, Umadara fun mi se. Alumadara fun mi se. You need to convince yourself. Amen? Convince yourself. Speak to yourself. The natural self does not want to believe God. He's so trained in unbelief. So much so that if I pray for you in the negative, your amen will be louder than to pray for you in the positive. You will leave. Nobody said amen. Three people. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will not die. You see what I'm saying? Philippians 1:20. Hope is so important that Paul the apostle shouted. Philippians 1:20. Please put it on the screen. Philippians 1:20. Philippians 1:20. This was my saving grace when my mother died, 2017. We were planning a blaze. My mother passed on the 15th of September. Our blaze was just exactly a month. We were already putting together our budgets. We were trying to raise money, raise funds to prepare for our blaze like we do every year. And then the unforeseen happened. And I would bury my mother and give her a befitting burial. We still were trusting God for funds for our blaze. And I also had to be trusting God for my mother's funeral, because I needed to give a befitting funeral, being the first child. I was in my office in the midst of my agitation and asking questions. Lord, how do these things happen? It's not like we are done with a blaze and then I can now start trusting you for something. This happened. Why? Why did it happen? Why me? Lord, hopelessness was beginning to set in. But at the scent of this water, look at the water that God sent me. Have you ever been thirsty in your life? Anybody here? Have you ever been thirsty? And somebody gave you cold water on a sunny afternoon. How did that feel? Come and talk to me, church. Paul the apostle wrote these words by the Holy Ghost. And as I just opened my Bible and the Holy Ghost showed me like I'd never read Philippians before in my life. According to my earnest expectation. Hope is confident expectation. Now, Paul said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope. That's like according to my hope and my hope. Repetition for emphasis. Hope, hope. The force of hope. That in nothing I shall be ashamed. That was all I saw. I didn't read the rest. I started screaming it in my office the very day I saw it. I started screaming it. In nothing will I be ashamed. In nothing will I be ashamed. You know what happened? It was Thursday Bible study. I rushed to church to teach Bible study. I decreed it in the church. Everybody say with me, and in nothing.
be ashamed.
That's how we've been saying it since that year. And since that year, in nothing have we been ashamed. Can I have an amen? Guess what happened? Money came in to do the convention. We did the convention because I had to attend to God's work first. I postponed my mother's burial to November, the month after Ablaze, October. She was my mother, and I happened to be the firstborn, so I could postpone. Extended family members were saying, that's my mom, all right? Some even had the idea, I should bring the body to Ondo State, our hometown, you know, because she was a princess, and the princess should not be buried in a strange land. You should bury her at home. I said, well, she's my mom. All my life, I grew up here. She grew up here with us, right? This is where we have our friends, our guests. We schooled here. We go home. I go home once in a while. I know a few people there, but I'm not going to take people all the way from here over there. And again, there were a lot of security checks on the road. At that time, it was really bad. The armed robbers were using corpses to transport ammunition. So it was so bad that the military would actually ask you to open the coffin and they will open up the cadaver. They will open up the dead body to check whether you hid ammunition there. I said, no, I can't stand anybody doing that to my mom's body. She's gone to be with the Lord, but I got to give her a befitting burial. They would do explorative surgery. Family members, if you want to come, come. If you don't want to come, glory be to God. That's my mom, and I'm going to bury her. Stood my ground. Those who came, came. Those who didn't come, glory be to God. Thank God for their lives. I found the best graveyard in Ibadan. Operated by All Souls Church, called Rest Park in Ido. One of the most expensive at the time. I bought a vault. God provided all the funds I needed. All the funds I needed. Based on the strength of one scripture. And in nothing. In nothing I shall be ashamed. See, I've been through the furnace of affliction a number of times in my life. And the word of God has seen me through. I'm begging you, young people, have respect for the word of God. Make time for the word of God. If you need to fast social media for a while so you can face the wall, you and your Bible, please do it. Generate hope from his word. At the scent of water, that tree will bud again, even though it looks dead. Man, to the glory of God, in nothing was I ashamed. Some people were saying they were putting money together. They wanted to buy drinks for my mom's burial. And I said, your first meeting will be the last meeting. Expression House, you are not in a stage to be giving me things yet. You are in a stage where you are developing now. You are developing muscles for the future. Don't give me money now. A time is coming that when you bring money, when you bring a brand new car, nobody will question you. Nobody will query you. But lest you say, daddy, give me money. Mommy, give me money. Why? What for? We are contributing money for our pastor's mother's burial. No. I'm old enough to bury my mother. And God backed me up and he supplied everything. We are not faking this here. It's either the word of God is working or we should close shop and go home. I know there are people who try to contradict our testimony. I know. I'm aware of that. It has always happened. Paul said, Alexander the coppersmith greatly withstood our words. There are things I say here, and there are people around me who are withstanding those words. But it's not in my place to judge anybody. God will take care of everybody at the end of the day. Amen. But nothing can nullify the integrity of the word of God. Nothing. No human being. You are not smart enough. You are not powerful enough to resist God's word. Nobody. Are you with me, church? Hope. What is hope? What is hope? I've told you hope is confident expectation. Number two. That's all I'm going to say today. What is hope? I want you to understand what hope is. Number two. Another definition of hope. Hope, according to PFE and according to the word of God, is that spiritual force that propels you to look forward to the breaking of a new day. Hope is that spiritual force that propels you to look forward to the breaking of a new day. Hope, 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 hope is that spiritual force that propels you to look forward to the breaking of a new day. You look forward to the breaking of a new day. Hope makes you, propels you to look forward. Hope tells you, don't die now. Don't die here. There is still a better day. A new day is coming. A new day is going to dawn. Look forward to it. Don't die. Don't die in the midnight. Morning is coming. Ecclesiastes 9:4. He said, for to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. How many of you can hire a dead lion to be your guard at home? You need a security guard at home, and you buy a dead lion and put it by your gate. A dead lion. At first, people will be scared. But the day they discover that it is a dead lion, and even decomposing, they will rob that man. A living dog that can bark is better than a dead lion. We are not living dogs. We are living, breathing, walking, miracle, working, tongue-talking children of the Most High God. So there is hope for us. Are you getting what I'm saying? There is hope. Somebody say, there is hope for me. For to him that is joined to all the living. What does that mean? Anyone that is still alive. Are you alive? Are you well? So there is hope for you. Even if you are not well, you will be well. Can I have an amen? Because you're still breathing. In fact, Lazarus had died for 4 days. No more hope. He had died for 4 days. They had contacted an event planner. They had contacted a decorator. They had contacted an MC, a DJ, a caterer. They had contacted an event center. They had taken Ankara. They were distributing IV. Planning the burial already. 4 days. He was buried already anyways. Planning the party. Jesus showed up for a man who had died. King of Hope himself showed up. John 12. Your brother will rise again. He said to Martha, oh, Master, if you had been here earlier, my brother would have resurrected. He would not have died. I am the resurrection and the life. I know my brother will rise again on the day of resurrection. I am. I'm bringing resurrection from the future to now. I'm collapsing time now. Yeah? Didn't I say to you, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Where did you lay him? They showed him. Roll away the stone. Father, I thank you because you hear me always. I say this because of these people that are here. And it downloaded instruction from heaven. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came back alive. He was already dead. In your case, you are not dead. You only have a sickness in your body. A lump in the breast, a growth in your back, or somewhere that is very, very embarrassing. Maybe you did surgery, you have not recovered. In the mighty name of Jesus, the King of Hope collapses time for your recovery now. Amen. 3 people said amen. Amen. Lazarus was dead. It had become a hopeless case. He didn't die yesterday. 4 days ago, sir. He didn't faint. He died. He didn't only die. Buried. Who goes to the tomb to wake up a buried man? At the point anybody is embalmed, we throw away hope. He's gone. Let's go and bury him. They've embalmed the dead body. So they did everything to Lazarus. Embalmment started from their culture. Everything. That's why when he got up, Jesus said, untie him, loose him, and let him go. Because all the clothes they used to wrap him during embalmment were still there. He was wrapped. He was alive now, but wrapped. Jesus said, unwrap him. Hope came alive. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will do well. Amen. No matter how dead the situation may be, I speak life to it today in the name of Jesus. Amen. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. You hear the voice of hope screaming from the pages of the Bible. The Holy Writ, From the old covenant to the new, when you sit down to meditate, when you sit down to meditate, you will see hope. Hope is screaming at us every day. Yet, some of us are behaving like we are hopeless. Psalm 30 verse 5, in the last part of it, he said, weeping may endure for the night. He said, joy cometh in the morning. Meditate on that. His anger endure but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night. Joy cometh in the morning. Weeping may endure for the night. Joy comes in the morning. Weeping may endure for the night. I'm weeping now, Lord. I'm weeping, Lord, help me. Weeping may endure for the night. Joy comes in the morning. Hope tells you, stay awake, stay awake. Don't worry. Joy is coming in the morning. Don't die in the night. Don't die in the night. If you die in the night, you will not see joy in the morning. Morning is coming. Morning is coming. And morning is not coming empty-handed. Morning is coming with joy. Morning is bringing joy along. So stay awake. Stay alert. Because joy is coming with the morning. Don't die in the night. Hope anchors your soul. To say, I'm going to wait until I see what the Lord is going to do. And I know God is going to do me well. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm still writing my applications. I know I'm going to get a job. I know they're going to call me. I know that email will drop. I know. I'm not going to commit suicide. If you commit suicide, nobody employs a dead person, a dead applicant. People who kill themselves never leave to see the miracle they were trusting God for. I contemplated it 19th of July, 2023. Maybe I should just end it all. That spirit came to my room and was telling me, you have tried. Integrity is gone. People saying all kind of things, including church people. People very close to me looked everywhere, was bleak. So what is it? The only time I was alive was when I was on the altar like this, preaching. After altar, I was vegetable. People would be talking to me, my mind was gone. People will be talking about what to do in December. I'll be asking myself, will I be alive in that December? This was a private battle going on in my head. Mental health issues. All of them came together. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I couldn't think well. I couldn't think straight. The only thing that was my anchor was the word of God. But every time I came to the word, I came alive. Every time. In fact, so much so, I almost wrote out almost in every chapter of Psalm. Not every, but almost. I began to read the Psalms from chapter 1 again. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. And for every verse that spoke to me, I had a different book. Not my sermon book. That book is kept at home. Very precious. I was writing the scriptures that spoke to me out. So I will, after reading the Bible, I will go back to the book and then digest that scripture meditatively. It was from that heat in that furnace that I discovered that God is my defense. I went to an SAN, Senior Advocate of Nigeria, in my ordeal. I said, sir, is there any protection for me in the law of Nigeria? He looked at me and shook his head. He's a pastor. He said, sadly, Pastor Fred, I'm sorry, you have no protection. People are threatening my life. What am I going to do? He said, we can only trust God. And he prayed a prayer with me and said, Lord, defend the testimony of your servant. I held on to that prayer. I came back to my Bible and I discovered that God is my defender. I said, wow. And I discovered that from chapter 1 to chapter 40 of the book of Psalms, David went through hell. He had distresses upon distresses upon distresses, and I was going through a distress. I said, wow. So somebody has been there before. Most of the challenges of our lives are cyclical. They revolve. What has been is what is right now has already been. Somebody has been there before. Don't kill yourself. If you kill yourself, you will not see a miracle. One stupid boy jilted you, broke your heart. You went to drink hypo. You are more stupid than the boy. If you don't kill yourself, a better boy will come your way. In fact, the real guy, the real McCoy, can I have an amen? One young man was talking to me in UI. He said, sir, you know, I'm really messed up right now. I said, why are you messed up? He said, because the girl said she wasn't interested anymore. Like, Pastor, I'm. And he was talking and his hands were shaking. I looked at him. Beleo, if I spoke the way I wanted to speak, he would be discouraged. I said, come and see me in my office when I'm calmer. Because this one you're talking, somebody walked out.
You should call them back and give them transport fare and say, bye bye, yo.
Weeping may endure for a night, joy comes in the morning. The force of hope this brings makes you look forward to that morning because joy has been promised. Are you with me, church? So hope tells you, don't die now, oh! Don't die now, oh! Morning is coming and it's bringing joy. Let me tell your neighbor, say, don't die now, oh! No triumph, oh! Speak pigeon to them, say, no triumph, oh! Don't try it, oh! If your neighbor is sleeping, let me wake your neighbor up and tell them, don't die now, oh! Don't die now, oh! The psalmist prayed in Psalm 13, verse 3. He said, lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. So if your neighbor is sleeping, scream that scripture into their ear. Say, may the Lord lighten your eyes, so you don't sleep the sleep of death. In the New Living Translation, he said, turn and answer me, oh Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die. Word. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die. Have you noticed that when people are in depression, the sparkle in their eyes is gone? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that? It's one of the signs medical people can tell. Nursing people can tell. When you sit down with a patient that is going through depression, the sparkle in their eyes is gone. They are staring into the distance. You can tell they are absent-minded. I've been there. So I know, when I see the signs, I know it. The psalmist cried out, Lord, restore the sparkle in my eyes. If you look at my eyes now, you see sparkles. Oh, shanor. My eyes, they shanor. Regardless of what I'm going through. We don't look what we're going through. Can I have an amen? Don't allow anybody from pity party. Oh, well, sorry. No, your case is not a sorry case. Amen? You have to be envied. There's no food. You are drinking garri. Thank God there is garri to drink. Thank God there is sound health to soak the garri. For as surely as the Lord lives, he that soaketh garri today shall eat chicken tomorrow. If you don't die, if you don't die, are you getting what I'm saying? Help me tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, stay alive. Chicken is coming. Ice cream is coming. Pizza is coming. Sandies is coming. First class is coming. Good job is coming. A good husband is coming. A good wife is coming. Good children are coming. Promotion is coming. Favor is coming. It is coming. As long as the Lord lives, it is coming. It is coming in the name of Jesus. What is not today, what is not enough today, shall be surplus tomorrow. You don't have but a pair of sneakers and it is torn and worn. Don't worry, a time is coming. You will have more than enough to give out to other people. Don't kill yourself. Don't commit suicide. It's not the way. I was talking to a lady in Lagos who was scammed like I was. In her own case, it was bad. She was scammed by 5 different people and all of them based in the UK. Nigerians in the UK. Kai. I said, have you been able to make any arrest? I said, Pastor, how? I don't even know how to do it. She said, a few days before I called her, she was contemplating suicide. I said, well, if you do that, that's the end for you. But it does not even end the case. The people will still be cursing you. The people that gave you money, they will still be cursing you. Does that solve the problem? She said, it's true, it doesn't solve anything. Stay alive. God will solve the problem for you. You will use your mouth to testify. Then you will be turned to a lady evangelist who will be going from church to church telling people how to survive dark days. People want to hear from someone that has been... Are you getting what I'm saying? Is there anyone among you that would like a pilot to fly you who has never flown before? Good morning, everybody. I'm Captain Fred. Just graduated last week from Sweden, the flight school in Sweden. Matter of fact, this is my IT. I've never flown an airplane before. I really don't know why my professors will ask me to fly a Boeing 757. I mean, they should allow me to start with like a Cessna, single engine plane that can carry like 5 people. But now there are 245 people on board. All of you guys, you better be praying with me. I need your help. Let's learn how to fly together. And the doors are shut. Man, you go bang that door open. Are you getting what I'm saying? You are not going to use my life for an experiment. Can I have an amen? Can I have an amen to that? That's too much. You're traveling to Lagos and the driver puts L. You first go and after you paid the money, you now saw L. You say, you come down, you're going to ask the driver from outside. You won't ask that question from inside. You ask from outside. Oga, why the L? Say, I'm a learner. You want to drive us to Lagos? Have you been to Lagos before? You will show me the way. That's why we're all here. How many of you will travel with such a driver? People want to hear from someone who's been there. That's why God allows certain things to happen. We've been there, so we have something to say. Are you getting what I'm saying? And I'm telling you this morning, there is hope in your end. Can I get an amen to that? Let me just wrap up. Let me wrap this up. Is somebody blessed this morning? Hope. 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 Thank you, Father. Hope is that spiritual force that anchors your soul and prevents it from drifting away. We're going to close this by opening to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 to 19. We're going to read from the KJV, then media will help me to now put up Message translation. Let's read KJV first. Hebrews chapter 6. And this is, I promise you, this is the last scripture I'm reading. I'm going to stop now. I told you I will stay within my time limit. Hebrews 6, 13 to 19. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hebrews 6, 13 to 19. Hebrews 6, 13 to 19. I would like us to read together. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Some of you, what you're going through right now is patient endurance. And you will come to that point when you will obtain the promise. 3 people said amen. Amen. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, two immutable things in which it was impossible to hold fast our confession. First of all, it tells us in Hebrews 3:1 that Jesus is the high priest of our confession. It takes what we say, and then as like every high priest must have something to minister, he ministers it back to us. That's why you must be saying good things. You must be saying the word of God, because Jesus will minister. He will have some, you are giving him something to minister. The Bible also tells us in Hebrews 4:14 to hold fast the profession of our faith. He said, because we have a high priest, a great high priest, who has entered into the heavens, even Jesus, the Son of God. He said, therefore, let us hold fast our profession, seeing that he's gone into heaven ahead of us. He has entered the heavens already. And right now, at the right hand of the Father, ministering what we say. Because he's the high priest of our profession or confession. It's the same word, the same Greek word, and that's homologio. Now, in Hebrews 10, 20, 23, I think it is 23 or 25, the Bible makes it clear to us that we should hold fast our confession, 10, 23, without wavering. Now, when God is giving you a warning, hold fast without wavering. Don't let go. Hold it fast That thing must be very serious. Church, that thing must be very serious. Are you with me? When a plane is about to take off, they will tell you, they will make an announcement from the cockpit, everybody fasten your seatbelt. You have to. In fact, the air hostesses, those of you that have traveled by air would know, and those of you that are going to travel, because you will travel by air. Amen? So I'm telling you in advance, so that when it happens, Pastor already mentioned it. Yeah, glory to God. The air hostesses will go around to ensure from seat to seat. Hello, excuse me, sir, please fasten your seatbelt. Yeah, that's how to do it. No, you did it wrong. Yeah, that's how to do it. Thank you, sir. They move on to every passenger because there is something called turbulence. Sometimes there is a turbulence ahead. So much so that in avoiding the turbulence, the pilot may choose to travel by the side. He may choose to turn the airplane a little bit, to tilt it. Now, when it is tilted, the people on that end of the plane will be up. The people on this left end will be down. Woe betide that person who is on that side or on this side who forgot to fasten their seatbelt. They will roll. They will fly inside the plane and hit their head on something and be badly injured. A friend of mine survived turbulence. He said it got so bad. This was a local flight in Nigeria. It got so bad on that flight, urine from the restroom actually poured out on the plane. Who cared about urine at that time? People's lives were in their mouth. I'm telling you, the plane was turning here and there because the pilot kept trying to avoid the storm. As a matter of fact, he went to 33,000 feet above sea level. That's for international flights. That's not for local flights. But he had to do it, trying to avoid. Things happen in the air. My friend said, you go to a place where it was raining. They go to another place, it was sunny. In the same atmosphere. All the people who didn't wear their seatbelt, as the plane jolted back to balance, they went back. Bwah! The people that had their seatbelt on were safe and they were secure. Because even when the plane was supposed to throw them off their seat, they had an anchor that kept them back. They had something that kept them in place. That's the seatbelt. The same thing happens when you're driving. When I'm driving, my son now is 13. He likes to sit in front with me because I told him, until you're 13, you cannot sit in front. You take the back seat. That's the way it should be until you're 13. So now he's 13 and he's proving like a big boy. Yeah, Dad, I got to sit in front now. I said, so the first thing in front is to use your seatbelt. That's the first thing. If it does happen that I'm driving and something happens on the road and I match the brakes, if you don't have your seatbelt on, I've seen that happen before. People fly and break the windscreen with their head. And that's some casualty right there. Seatbelt will keep you in place. Another friend of mine, an elder in our church, who now lives abroad, he said he had an accident on Eruwa Road one time, alone in his car. He said, man of God, the only saving grace, apart from the grace of God that day, was the seatbelt. The car turned upside down. It turned some somersault and then landed upside down. He said he was held like this. He was held to the roof of the car by his seatbelt. By his seatbelt. The seatbelt held him until help came for him. Some military men were traveling, and then they saw that, so they drove into the bush, and they helped him out. He was held in place by his seatbelt. That's your confession. And that's what hope does for you. In the midst of the storms of life, all the kiti-kiti-kiti-kata-kata-kata-kata, keep hope alive. It will keep you alive. Amen. Have you been blessed? Let's read this from the Message translation. Everybody, from verse 13, Hebrews 6, 13 to 19. Let's stand as we take it together. Message, God bless you. One, two, go. I can hear you. One, two, go. One, two, go. When God made his promise to Abraham, he backed it to the hilt, putting his own reputation on the line. Whose reputation was on the line? God's, right? Verse 14, he said, I promise that I'll bless you with how many things? How many things? And when he made that promise to Abraham, he made it to Jesus, he made it to us. I'll bless you with everything.
And I promise that I'll bless you with everything I have. Bless, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Does that sound like you? Next verse. Abraham stuck it out and got everything that had been promised to him. He got how many things? Fred is going to get everything that God promised. I guarantee you, Fred Alegbe is going to get everything. PFE, he's going to get everything. I can't hear you. I am going to get everything that God promised. And you are going to get everything God promised you. Can I get a good amen to that? That amen is not strong enough. Can I get a very good amen? Are you excited about getting everything? Everything God promised. Is healing good? Sound health good? How about prosperity? You're able to pay your bills. You're able to pay for someone else. You're able to give someone else a scholarship. How about you're able to win souls? How about you are flowing in the gift of the Holy Ghost? How about you are led by the Spirit of God? Everything. Bless and bless and bless. So Abraham stuck it out and got everything. Stuck it out and got everything. Fred is going to stick it out and get everything. When people make promises, they guarantee them by appeal to some authority above them. So that if there is any question that they will make good on the promise, the authority will back them up. Is that right? Is that correct? Right. When God, you know, when people really want to convince you sometimes, they will say, God, I swear to God. When you hear that, say, okay. Listen up. Don't be fooled. Scammers also use God. I asked that guy one time, I said, Reverend, how about if this thing doesn't work? He said, the God you and I serve, Pastor Fred, the God you and I serve. I promise you in the name of the God you and I serve. Now I know we don't serve the same God. He was making that promise on the integrity of another God. Be careful. People say, oh no, it's a lie. Many times people lie. They use the name of God. Ordinarily, it shouldn't be like that. When we were kids, and we were walking in front of a church, and we were cussing out at each other as little boys on the street in Mokola. When we got to the front of a church, we kept quiet. When you get to the front of a church, you walk past the church, then you continue. You continue. Why did we keep quiet in front of a church? We kept quiet because we were told as little kids that God was in the church. That's the house of God. You don't curse in front of the house of God. In fact, when we made a mistake sometimes, we slapped ourselves. You don't know the angel passing by. That was how God was at least in a way put in our consciousness. Today, people don't care. Inside the church, they curse. They lie. Normally, when people want to make you believe them, they will use a higher authority to swear. That's what this scripture is saying. He said, but when God wanted to guarantee his promises, who will God use as a higher authority? I swear to God. We all swear to God. Who will God swear to? You know what he gave? His word. Because he has exalted his word, he has magnified his word above all his name. His word is his bond. Listen, church, listen to me now as we close. The cheapest place to get God is his word. Get hold of his word. God, you said. God, you said. God, you said. I've seen it work in my life. God, you said. You said. You said so, so, and so. You said it in so, so, and so place. When people look at me and say, Pastor, you know so many scriptures. I don't, not because I want to memorize scriptures. No! I'm on a journey. I want to be able to speak as a lawyer. And I will never hire a stupid lawyer in my life who comes to court and says, sir, my lord, I have an objection. According to the Constitution of Nigeria, I can't remember where the Constitution is right now, but the Constitution says that. So, like what my client is saying now, my client is not guilty. No, he's not guilty, sir. No, sir. My lord, can you tell us where that is in the Constitution? I will never hire a lawyer who does not know the Constitution, who does not know the section and the subsection and the year.
So if I'm going to be a child of God, I want to be able to know what my dad said, when he said it, where he said it, and I want to put it to his face. Dad, you said. That's the way I'm raising my son. I promised him a brand new laptop. He wants to do IT, robotics, and all of those stuff. And I said, we have a deal. You do your common, your junior work, you come up with straight A's, you have a brand new. I'm not going to buy fairly used, I'm going to buy brand new. I've put my word. Whether I have the money or not, I'm going to have to work to get it out. My word. So when he's talking to me now, he's saying, Dad, you said. And if I want to be a dad that will be credible and I want him to believe me for the rest of his life, I'd better make good my promise. Lest I become... that was how you said 2 years ago. As some daddies, when they talk like this, children say, daddy, especially girls. My daughter will say, you promised to take us out. No, that's what you promised. You said you'd take us out. Yeah, baby, I'm going to take you out. Chill for a while. How long? I don't want to stress you. I just want to know. You know what they are telling me to do? Prove your integrity. And sometimes it hurts me to be able to fulfill those promises, but I have to. The Bible says if you are going to be a man of integrity, you swear to your own hurt. It doesn't matter. You have to fulfill it. Yeshua, I'm coming to ABH 3 p.m. to see you. Now rain started. I will have to enter the rain. Oh, now my car broke down. I will have to do something to prove my integrity. In an exceptional case, when I don't show up and I text or call that my car has broken down, because you know it is not my character, you say, ah, Pastor, don't worry. I trust you. But, Pastor, it's coming. There was nobody greater than God for God to swear by. Look at what God did. He gave his word. He gave his word. What did he give? Echo it out loud. What did he give? Do you have his word today? You have it. Some of the saints of old didn't have a Bible. In the old covenant, they had Torah. In the new, they had scrolls. We have a complete Bible. We have the word. We have the word, but we are not reading the word. Oh, the Lord have mercy on us. He gave his word. A rock solid guarantee is what is a rock solid guarantee? Yes, please. Next verse. Thank you, media. Let's read this together. Everybody, want to go? God can't break his word. And because his word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. Amen. Next verse. It's an unbreakable, that hope is an unbreakable spiritual lifeline, reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God. Unbreakable lifeline. Verse 20, where Jesus running on ahead of us has taken up his permanent post as high priest for us in the order of Melchizedek. When you get back home, go and meditate on that. Have you been blessed today? I want to pray for someone. You're going through stuff and it looks like it's too much. Looks like you're surrounded by trouble. You really are, like Paul was. 2 Corinthians 1:8. 2 Corinthians 4 as well. Troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. Psalm 125 says, as mountains are round about Jerusalem, so is the Lord round about his people. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 17, 18, 19, that Ebenezer tried to quote earlier. When the servant of the man of God woke up in the morning, he said, alas, my master, how shall we do? They were surrounded by enemies. But Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And then he saw chariots of fire round about them. Angels and chariots of fire. I want to say to you, by the word of the Lord, you are surrounded by the arms of God. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. If you want me to pray with you, step forward. It won't take time. 5 minutes, we are done. We share the grace. Real quick. If you're going through stuff and you just need prayers, looks like it's too much. Like this is just too much. I need help. I need Jesus. I need him right now. People are going through stuff. Keep your focus on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Malaba sakata ya lava handaria katabalaste. Mambru koto lembre hale kere bahande kere bahale. Menke tekarusta balaste kere bahalia. Mambara kote kere baharia katabalande kada bahaste. Rakatoste bendesti bahale. Meleke tekedia da balabalaba. Mababababaruka do bahala kada bade. Rakatasta kadabahalis to kabaria daba. Menemeneba su kapaya. Bakatasta katabala labahaya. Like I'm surrounded. I'm surrounded by you. Precious Holy Spirit. I commend your sons and daughters into your hands right now, Lord. You know the details. You see every detail of what they are going through. Some of them need you to come like right now, Lord. They can't even wait till after the service. For some people, shame is very near. Shame is around the corner if you don't step in. Lord, you know I'm not doing this as a show off. I'm obeying your instructions. So Lord, prove to them that I'm obeying your instructions. That you are really interested in the business of your people. That you are really a God that is not far removed from us, but a God that is very near. Our very present help in the day of trouble. Show yourself up. Show yourself strong. For there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Make glad this city, O God. Make glad this city called the Expression House. Make glad your house. Make glad your children. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Lord, let hope arise in the hearts of your children right now. Lord, let help therefore come in the name of Jesus. Let hope arise again in places where the tree has been cut down. Let the scent of water make the dead trees to bud and flourish again. Father, turn hopelessness into the breaking forth of a new day. Let a new day arise. Let a new day dawn for your children. I don't care how long they've been in this abyss of hopelessness. Lord, thank you for your presence. So thick here. Nesto prehende. Hisha. Nestelia. Oh, thank you, Father. We have the assistance of the ministry of angels this morning. Yes, Lord. Oh, yeah. I release your angels, oh God, to go into the field. Now, go ahead Angels go ahead of these children of God and make every crooked path straight. In the name of Jesus, go now. Thank you, Lord. And I command the burden be lifted. I command you, burden, be lifted now in the name of Jesus. Burden in the minds of God's children. Burden, burden. Some of you are really carrying heavy burden. Troubling thoughts. Troubling thoughts. Those thoughts are troubling you. Sometimes you are with your friends, you are laughing, you are having a good time, and the moment you remember that situation, the moment that thought comes, you have a bad day from that point. Now, I command that troubling thought, get out in the name of Jesus! And I command it to be replaced with thoughts of peace. Shalom. Shalom. Peace of mind. Serenity of mind. Because you have the mind of Christ. Say with me, I have the mind of Christ. Troubling thoughts are not permitted. Say it. Come on, that's your confession. Say, troubling thoughts are not permitted in the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. I have serenity of mind. My mind is calm. My mind is alert. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And so, Father, I speak to agitations, anxieties, anxiety disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, and all forms of emotional disorders and psychological disturbances, bringing mental torture to God's children. Out in the name of Jesus. Get out in the name of Jesus. Let peace reign in your heart and in your minds. Oh, come on now. Peace in your soul. I say peace in your soul. I say peace in your soul. The snare is broken and you have escaped. You have escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare of depression is broken and you have escaped now in the name of Jesus. Whatever the situation may be, the Egyptian you saw before you came to this altar, as you go back to your seat, you'll see them no more. In fact, you will be the first to testify. Oh, King Jesus. King Jesus, we honor you. King Jesus, we honor you. King Jesus restored mental health to the madman of Gadara. It was an epic situation in the Bible. And King Jesus is still alive and well and is right here in this service with us now. So King Jesus, I give you the right of way. I get out of your way. Touch the minds of your children. Touch their hearts. Touch their souls. Let mental health be restored. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Peace like a river. Peace like a river. Yes, let it flow. Let it flow now. In the spirits of your children, peace like a river. Yes, Lord Jesus. Do it. Do it. Only you can do it. We trust you to do it. Yes. Yes. Your word says that you fill them with all joy and peace in believing. Lord, they are believing right now. Fill them with all joy and peace. Let us leave this service better than we came. Let everybody gallop in joy. Let us scream and shout. Because we will see a new day. A new day is here. I don't care how long that situation has been. A new day is here. A new you is here. A new season is here. You will come back to testify. Some of you will send your testimonies from abroad. Thank you, precious Father. We honor you and we praise you. Lift your hands and give him praise. Has he done it? Is he going to do it? Is he going to do it? Has he done it? Do you believe? Have you received? Give him a shout of praise. Go back to your seat. God bless you.
Thank you once again for listening to this message. We hope it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you the God of the Bible so that you can know Him intimately, beyond religion, and rediscover purpose in Him. Please connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG, or join us in our live services at Mokola Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. God bless you.